Good morning. It's a blessing to be here. I am, I'm tired. My wife is out of town. I think I'm going to leave. You know, raising people is hard. And they're not kids anymore, they're people. And God has blessed us to make his day. And since my wife has been gone, I love her more. Because you appreciate stuff more. Stuff that they do, like, don't tell my wife, but there's a lot of stuff not done at the house. There's a lot of stuff not done. We got to get it real quick before she get back. But, you know, it is a blessing. Again, I have really tapped into that scripture that says, take no thought on tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. You know, man, sometimes you sit there and you worry about, oh, tomorrow, oh, my, and then today slapping you in the back of your head. You're like, wait a minute, I can't even get out today yet. So God is trying to send me a message is to slow down, you know, put everything in his hand and just worship. And that's what I want to do this morning, just worship. You know, there's a time where Jesus was walking through a cornfield with his disciples and the Pharisees. It was on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees saw them eating the corn, and they came accused him for working on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, well, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. And I used to wonder, what did he mean by that? And I think I have it. If I'm still wrong, leave me alone. Ignorance is bliss. But I think what Jesus meant is God didn't create a law just so man have something to do. He didn't create man for just to do a law. He created a law to benefit man. You see, every law God has for us is for us. Everything we do, everything God gives us is for our benefit. You got to know God doesn't get any stronger because we're here worshiping him. He doesn't get any more power. He doesn't discover new power because we start working. God has been God way before we showed up. He is God now and will be God the whole time after. So all the things God tells us to do is for our benefit. I was talking to a young lady this morning and said, you know, the first commandment God gives children that are Christians, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. See, every commandment God gives is going to be well with you. It's going to be for your benefit that you may live long on this earth. And believe me, I know that scripture real, because if I ever talked to my mom and daddy like I hear some kids talk to their mom and daddy, I would not have been on this earth long at all. So everything God gives us is for our benefit. This worship right now, if you come and thinking that, oh, okay, I got to go because I got to worship God, you have the wrong mentality. You need to come worship because it's for you. This is your blessing. God is going to bless you through worship. Again, God's not going to get any bigger. He's not going to get any more godder. Is that a word, godder? Can you go? He's not going to get any more godder. It's going to be at airport. It's a new word. Leave me alone. He's not going to get any bigger because we worship. Every commandment God gives humans is for the human. So this morning, let's worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, that means we don't conjure up stuff to do ourselves. We don't make up stuff to do. Why? Because God created worship for us. We didn't create worship to him. He said, you worship me in spirit and in truth. So let's just do what he says. And when we do this, let's lay all our burdens down, because some of you sitting here right now and you are troubled and you can't worship. The words I'm saying are just bouncing off your head because you got life to deal with. You have troubles. You got something or someone waiting later on. And that's what Satan, he always does. He always gets you with later. You know, just like my mom and daddy. Man, I used to hate to get in trouble and get those threats. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You wait till I get home. Those kind of like, because if you hit me now, I'm good. It's over. But if I got to ponder on it, you know, and that's what Satan does. He says, man, it's something waiting for you outside that door. That's why you won't be able to worship. And when he gets you to thinking like that, he got you. He'll get you every time. You got to know God designed worship to deal with the spirit. What is worship is? It is worshiping God, the creator of all, the God of all, the God of all my problems. I heard a preacher tell me, he says, when you have a problem, go and tell your God about your problem. And then when you finish that, go and tell your problems about your God. Let it go. Whatever you're going through right now, ask God to let it go. God, can I just worship you right now? Even just for this 2-hour and 15-minute sermon. See, that was a problem right there. No, not again. That's not going to be that long. It's not just 2 hours. But just for the time you're here, God, let me let it go. Let me stop worrying about if I see somebody over here doing something, if somebody did this, if a baby cried. Lord, let me let all that stuff go. And for once, let me just let you be the focus. Not how I'm used to doing it. Not how I'm used to hearing it, not how long he used. Let me get rid of everything and open myself to you for this moment and let me clear my mind of all the stress, of all the worry. God, right now, let me trust you right now that if I do that, ultimately you're going to take care of me. Let me do that right now. Let us bow. Thank you, God, for being God, for being bigger than anything imaginable. We ask you right now, Lord, to touch hearts, to let our minds free. Even if it's the most terrible of news, Lord, please let us remember that you are still God. Let us remember that you have gotten us here all this way. And it was through you and you alone. So please be with us, Lord, and help us. And let us see the right thing and keep Satan away from us. It's in Jesus' name we ask all these blessings, your son and my loving Savior. And the Church of Christ said, amen. Good morning. 1 John chapter 2. Today we're going to, you heard, read in your hearing by Zeke. Thank you, Zeke, for reading. Thank you for reading that, and you heard him say, but we're going to have Keith to reiterate, and I'm going to stop him as we go through some things, but I'm going to talk, at the last part, I'm going to talk about this thing called an unction in some versions. We'll talk about it. That's going to be the point of my sermon, but we're going to kind of walk through and then go back to this point. So if you could, 1 John, Keith, Rita, the voice in the sky is going to read 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 20, all the way to the end.
But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth.
I write you who know the truth. Now, we have to remember that the Bible is written to the whole world, but it's for his people. We have to understand that, because a lot of things that we would say in understanding, the church understand it. It's some things that the Bible says, for instance, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. When you say that to a Christian, we just say amen. You say that to an atheist, he says, hold on. So it's some things that we understand that when we write, when we're reading, We just get it and understand it. He says, the people I'm writing you the truth. You know the truth. You're not sitting here still wondering about if Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have already responded to him according to scriptures, and you have experienced his love. Therefore, you know. That's why you're worshipers, because you experienced his love. So therefore, now you know the truth. Keep reading, preacher.
Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son.
Now, we talked about that last Sunday, the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist, a lot of times we read it in popular versions, we read it and sound like there's just one person. You know, we even have these movies of the Antichrist. But the Antichrist, as John describes it, is anyone who has denied Jesus Christ as Savior. So this person he calls a liar. Keep going.
No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father.
Now he says, see to it to whatever you have heard from the beginning, let it remain in you. I remember in the book of Galatians, Paul had written to the church of Galatia, and then he went away, and then he started hearing grumblings about his visit and even questioning if what he was saying was right. And then Paul writes back to them in Galatians, the first chapter. Paul said, if anyone comes to preach to you any other gospel other than what I have taught you, let him be accursed. What Paul was saying is, I know I gave you the truth. And if someone has given you something different, do not follow it. And I make that to you. I don't care how good looking and debonair I am. If what I'm saying is not scriptural, do not follow it. You do not follow any church, any person, any parent, anything that is trying to teach you other than what the Bible has said. If they try to teach you that in a tricky, kind of fast-talking way, I could do that. But I'm telling you at the end, do not follow me, because I am wrong if that's the case. Because if I say something that is not according to scripture, I don't care how powerful I say it. I don't care how many scriptures I used around it. But if it does not coincide with scripture, if it does not mate with the truth, then I'm wrong. I don't care how sincere I am. I've been sincerely wrong many times. Don't follow me. You follow God's word and God's word alone, and that's it. I have so many people who say, well, our church or my preacher or my parents or I feel, that's not what's going to judge us in the last days. John 12:48, Jesus said, he that rejects me and receive not my words has one that will judge him. The words that I have spoken unto you, these words shall judge you in the last days. So if you know the truth, then the truth is what you need to stand on. It and it alone. And know this, it is always enough. Amen? All right, preacher, keep reading.
And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray.
Now there's going to come in. Peter wrote in First Peter, I believe it is, Peter wrote, he said, there were false prophets among the brethren. There shall also be false teachers among you. He's letting them know. There's going to be false teachers. There are false teachers all over the place. Back then with the prophets, with the children of Israel, there were false teachers then. And now in the church, there are going to be false teachers. He said, there shall be false teachers, there are false prophets among the brethren. There shall be false teachers among you who shall privately bring in damnable doctrines. They're going to sneak them in. And you know how they normally come in? They come in small groups. That's why we got to be careful with small groups. I think small groups are great, but we have to be careful because sometimes things are beginning to be introduced into small groups. And I'm going to tell you something. They come in secretly. And when they come in and they attach themselves to the emotions, how you feel, how you feel. And so he said, these things are destructible heresies. Some of these teachings even deny the Lord God who bought them. And the sad part is it says, many shall follow their pernicious ways. And by way of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In other words, there's going to be some doctrines that slip in, and they're going to sound morally okay. It's going to sound to be okay. And it's going to sound nice. It's going to be introduced by a charismatic person. But God said, again, if it's not my words, then what do? Leave it alone. Leave it alone if it's not my words. So he's saying that with this, he says, I'm writing these things about those who are trying to lead you astray. It's going to be some who come in and they're going to lead people astray because they know how to talk. They know how to act. They know how to look. They know which vibe to push. There's things in society that they know attracts the eye, and they start leaning their belief in their religion to your palate. They start saying things that sounds good, that feels good, that's acceptable. But again, the way of God is his word and his word alone. He said they will come in and they will try to lead you astray, but keep reading, preacher.
As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him.
Keep reading.
And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, you may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him.
Yo, listen, it talks about the anointing. Who's heard that word before? You heard that. A lot of times we hear it, and we hear it in connection with something that is charismatic. And when I say charismatic, I mean something that's flashy. But we ought to understand the anointing, or there's a word in some versions that says unction. Whose version says unction? There's an unction. What that mean? That just simply means it is a rub. What it meant, it was used. This unction was used to anoint someone who's about ready to go into the priestly duty. They would normally anoint them with oils and perfumes, and they would get either their head or sometimes their whole body. What it was doing, it was simply an unction put on you, and it was the presence of God in you. And you think about it, when we get baptized, what we get baptized for, what purpose? When you come up here and you want to put Christ on in baptism, what are you doing? You are denying yourself first. You're saying, that's what it says in Acts 2:38. He says, you repent. You turn to God and away from even your own self. That's the death. Remember Romans, the 6th chapter says, when we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism, in order that we may raise to a new life. So when you get in the water, you come to the water, you're baptized. You die here. What are you dying to? Just like Christ died on the cross, you're dying here by repentance. Christ on the cross, he rejected himself. You remember when he was in the garden and he prayed? He said, Lord, let this cup pass, but not my will, your will be done. He says, I'm excusing myself over your will. I mean, under your will. I'm humbling myself under you. I want this cup to pass, but if you will, your will be done. So he died to himself on the cross. When we repent, as it says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. When we repent, We are denying self. What does repentance mean? To turn to God. Away from who? Sin. Guess who that sin involved? You. That's denial. So you die to self. And then when you die, just as Christ died on the cross, what did they do to him? They buried him. Well, I died to myself in repentance. I reject myself. I said, God, speak. I'll hear, command, and I'll obey. So I died to myself, and then I'm just as Christ died. What did they do to him? They buried him in his tomb. Well, when I'm baptized, I'm buried, what we call the watery grave of baptism. I'm buried there in the water. Why? Because I've died to Larry, and now I put Larry in that grave, just like Christ died on the cross, and they put his body in the grave. But guess what? Early one Sunday morning, what did he do? He woke up. And when he woke up, the Bible says everything in Colossians, everything that Christ died for us on for was nailed to the cross. It died. Everything that attacked you, it died. It died. And so when they put him in the grave, when he woke up and came out of the grave, the only thing that came out was the new Jesus. That Jesus that couldn't die anymore. So when I die in the watery grave, what stays in there? All my sins. That old man, as it says in Romans the 6th chapter, that old man, he's crucified where? In baptism. Y'all got to know, it's not a symbol. It is what actually happens according to Romans the 6th chapter. It is a spiritual thing. It is a physical act, but spiritual truths are happening. Just like when I give my money in church. Is that a physical act? Isn't it? I put my money in church. But what did Jesus say? When you do that, he said, you're doing it to me. When you give to the homeless, when you give to the hungry, when you feed, when you clothe, when you put in the house, when you do that to the least of my brother, he said, what are you doing? You're doing it to me. The physical action is to this person, but the spiritual reality, you're doing it to Jesus. When we sing, it's a physical thing, yes. But what's happening? The Bible says sacrifices when we sing are going up to God. That's a spiritual reality. That's why when he said when you worship God, you worship him how? In spirit and in truth. Everything we do in worship is physical, but it has spiritual manifestations. So baptism, when I reject Larry, I said, I repent. Lord, I'm going to turn to you. I have died to self. And then I get baptized. I'm buried just like he was. And then when they pull me out of the water, I'm risen, as he says in Romans 6, to a new life. The old Larry does not live anymore. Well, guess what happens when that happened? The Bible said in Acts 2:38 that's where I get the unction. Well, what's that unction? Acts 2:36, Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And the Bible said, when they heard this, they were cut to the hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the brother, what shall we do? Head, heart, hands. What shall we do? Then Peter replied and says, repent and be baptized. That's what you do. Every one of you, that's who should do it. In the name of Jesus Christ, that's how you should do it. For the remission of sins, that's why you should do it. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what happens when you do it. We get the Spirit of God, the unction. Now, what is this unction? I told a young lady this morning, the unction of the Holy Spirit is like a tattoo. You know, Houston, when they had cattle, they didn't have a lot of fences and things to build. They just let the cattle roam. But you know how you would identify them? You put an L for Larry. You brand them. So when you walk out among those cattle didn't go like, hey, Larry, here I am. They had their mark, am I right? They had their brand. They go, oh, that's mine, that's mine, that's, well, that's what the Holy Spirit is kind of like. It's like that brand. That's mine, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. So when God come again, because you do not want God to see you. I don't care how good you've been doing. You don't want God to see you. What did he say? Our good deeds are like what? Filthy rags. You do not want God to see you. You want him to see the brand of the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you get it? According to the scripture, by repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the unction. Now, what is that unction? Earlier, he talks about in Acts 2 that unction is a gift or a promise from God. See, we got to understand that the Holy Spirit itself is a gift, and the world cannot have it. The only way you can get the Holy Spirit is that God gives it to you. How does God give it to you? By receiving the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. You, everybody in here, sins. God cannot allow even 1 ounce of sin to enter into heaven. So what does he do? He sent Jesus Christ down on this earth. He lived a perfect sinless life. He was buried. He died. He on the cross. He was buried. He arose again the third day according to the scriptures. Why? To have your sins washed away. How do you receive this washing away of sins? By believing in that story. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Say yes, it's right. Say yes. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and mine? Do you believe that if you're baptized in his name, because that's what he calls for, you to hear the gospel, to believe it. Once you believe it, then he says repent. That means turn to God. When you turn to God, then the Bible says, then be buried in the be buried in baptism, and then rise again to the new life. In Colossians 2, 11 and 12, it calls it the circumcision of Christ. But you get the unction. Now, what is the unction? I heard a preacher say, you can't function without the unction. The church is designed through the Spirit of God, not the work of man. You can have all the ministries all day long up and down, but if the unction is not connected to it, it will not prevail. We only prevail through the power of the Holy Spirit, that and that alone. So what is the unction? Who's a Christian here? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Get them up. I want to see some armpits. If you are a Christian, then you have the unction of the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit itself is? It is a gift, but it is a gift, as a boy said, that keeps on giving. It is a gift that has gifts. So you got to understand, you are designed a particular way. In Ephesians 2, chapter 10, the Bible says we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works that were given to us before the world began. Now, here is this beautiful couple right here, two Christians, washed, justified, sanctified in God, both have the Holy Spirit, but God will use you differently than he will use her. You understand that? And so God will touch and manifest himself differently, not different in the sense of he's going to tell you one doctrine, teach her another, no ma'am and no sir, but differently meaning how you are designed. The way I'm designed, and I think that's important about unctions and about learning about yourself. We need to learn self. Christianity is a religion or belief system of being aware. Remember what he says when you take the Lord's Supper? What did he say do? He said, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Pay attention to your walk. That's why I said before, just don't take any preacher's word. Just don't take any preacher word. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith, lest you be disqualified. Well, what happens is, when I get this message, I am using this unction to live my life and to function. Once I learn myself, see, people are made in different rhythms. I know I have a rhythm. In my rhythm of life, man, sometimes, if you've done this, you just have a rhythm to where things just seem to just work. They come easy. It's a flow. And then after a while, what happened? Kind of. I've learned that. I used to write. And man, sometimes when I write, boy, it just flowing out my mind. And I can't type fast enough. And then I get to that rhythm where it stops. And I'm still trying to write. And I think, oh, something's wrong. No, nothing's wrong. My rhythm. Do you know life is a rhythm? That's why you could chart stars and all this stuff, because it's a rhythm. Your body, tell me what happens with your heart. Isn't it on a rhythm? If it gets off rhythm, what happened? You might not have a rhythm anymore. You know, everything is made in a rhythm. Everything has a timing to it. It's a rhythm. And God made us that way. And if we take time out, church, to find these rhythms, these unctions, then we can manifest the power of God. But we just think church is about coming to church and sitting in the pew and doing this and doing that and walking off. Then we have the wrong understanding of the unction. It's not a thing. It is God. And he gives us spiritual gifts to function. What is your gift? Well, I have people all the time, I don't know if I know my gift. Well, ask God. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's one thing I want to teach young folks, is you got to understand, I don't want you to come up in the church like I did. Just learning to go to church, and that's the good thing, going to the church building on Sunday, being on time. That's not what church is about. It's about the unction. What did God put in you to do? Did he make you special for something? Yes, he did. What is it? I don't know. I got to find mine. But if we don't take time out to do that, then we'll go just carelessly through life and just thinking that we're doing something that God's not even asking us to do. But when you put the unction, why are you here? He said, Brother Dunlap, I've been here and I'm older and I da, da, da. No, but God still unction. Is it still in you? Then he still has something for you to do. You still have a power. Well, what is it? It's not just, believe me, Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross just for you to show up at a building on Sunday. He died for a particular reason, the unction. What is that? Find out what it is. I can't find it out for you. And when I learned about this unction, I begin to look at scriptures a little differently. Like, for instance, Proverbs 22:6. When I was growing up, my father told me, that's your favorite scripture. You know what it says? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Well, I read that scripture for so long, I just limited that to that just saying, train children up as Christians. And that is what it means. I mean, in that time, it wasn't talking about Christians, but training people up in the Lord. But when I started learning about the unction, I started viewing that differently. Because listen to the words. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he won't deviate. Well, what does that mean? Well, when I was preaching one time in California, and I was preaching, and after my father, he came to California, he saw me, and after service, he walked up to me, he said, boy, you look like you was having fun up there. I said, Daddy, I was. He said, that's why I raised you that way. He said, because I knew it was in you. And guess what? 55 years old this month, I'm still doing it and still having fun. You know why? It's my unction. That's why I'm here. It has nothing to do with how good I am. It has nothing to do with that. It has something to do with me doing what God put me here to do. What's your unction? Why did he put you here? Find that out. Why did God set you here, Larry? Why are you here? And I'm going to tell you something, one thing about unction, you could never retire from it. Because that's just what you are. And you know what's one thing about an unction? You don't go teach that. You don't go learn it. You can only refine it. In other words, just like some people are gifted. When I say unction, it's just word enough for gifted. If some people are gifted to be tall, you can't teach them that. Oh, come on, let's go to class on your tall class. Come on. You can't teach that. You can refine it by walking up straight and doing, but you can't teach tall. It's an unction. It's a gift. What is your gift? Because when you do that, then church becomes more than just a religion. And you realize church, guess what church is then? It's at your house. It's on your job. It's at the basketball court. It's at the grocery store. You are the church everywhere, not just on a particular place in a particular day. The unction. We're going to talk more about that later. But I want you to remember that. When we're baptized into Christ, you get the unction. And that unction, woo, When you let it have you, baby, you will go places that you never knew existed because God wants to. What did he say in Ephesians 3:20? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. Do you know how many Christians are sitting in church and they just go to church? God is trying to wake us up with an unction. If you want that unction, the only way to get it is to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ if you don't have it. It's to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And once you hear that message, the Bible says, he asks a question, do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe he died on the cross for your sins and mine? If you believe that, then the Bible says, repent, turn to God, deny self, deny the world, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? As an outward showing of inward grace, that's nowhere taught in the Bible. I hear that all the time. That's nowhere, nowhere found in the Bible. There's no scripture. I'm serious. Go look. There's no scripture that teaches that baptism is for an outward showing of inward grace. There's no scripture that teaches that. But what the scripture does teach, baptism is what? For the remission of sins. Y'all, God wants to save us. And he wants to give us a gift. It's called the unction. Will you come as we together stand and sing the song of invitation?